Hey everybody, Travis Smith here. I'm with two wonderful people from Columbia today. Jen Reeves, new media director at KOMU and associate professor at the Missouri School of Journalism. And Jamie Stevens of BlueRoot.com and the developer of Booked. So we are here to, well, first of all, we're in a coffee shop. So it's a really interesting ambient environment. Just feel like you're right here at the table with us. That'd be the best approach.
Grab a cup of Joe.
Join us. Jen, if you would just tell us what you do at the university and what you do at KOMU, that'd be awesome.
Sure. Right now, as the new media director over at KOMU, my job is to really try to target our audience in all spaces non-traditional. And non-traditional still counts a website, although in my mind it has a lot of traditional now, just the standard site. So what we're also looking at is trying to learn where people are. If they are online, they're probably not on a web page. They're probably more often in a social space. Yeah. So I'm working on trying to target our audience and share news and be a part of the conversation and learning what is an effective way to legitimately be a part of that conversation, not fake, like for real.
Right.
You know, inform people in ways that they want to hear it, participate in it, and then share it. So newsrooms are just warming up to that, and I've been playing with it for a while. So at the university, I teach a class called Internet Applications, Advanced Internet Applications, and what we're doing is trying to push the envelope, get to know people out in the industry, and then try to do new ideas and share it. So that's right now, I'm spending a lot of time teaching people the ideas of Twitter, not because Twitter's a cool thing to talk about, but it's a concept, it's a thought process, it's the ease of information delivery that I'm showing. And I want them to do it because when something big happens, it's a good, important place to be. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was a powerful day with the Fort Hood shootings. For the first time, people were using Twitter lists for breaking news. The newspaper in Austin started a Twitter account for the incident, which I'd never seen before. And then the Today Show and some journalists started, collecting profiles of people that were talking about it. And so you could actually go to Today Show and look at their Fort Hood shootings. I think it's called Today Show / Fort Hood. And you can see all the people that Today Show is following. And I think that's a very quick and smart way to share what people are talking about without having to constantly retweet or repeat what people are saying on Twitter. So basically, I use Twitter as Twitter's the tool that they use now. I don't expect it to always be Twitter, but it's a process that will not go away.
Sure.
And so that's one thing I spend a lot of time in. We're spending a lot of time now in Facebook because our market is very much in Facebook. And since Facebook made fan pages a powerful, it's more powerful now that it shows up in a news feed. Before, a fan page was a fan page, and the only way you could contact your fans was through a message that no one read. And so now you can put an update and it shows up when you log in and it's in your news feed. That's become as powerful as a profile. And so we are trying to come up with a workflow because it needs to be a part of the workflow, so it's a conscious part of our news sharing and communicating. And I'm not winning this yet because I want it to be real. I don't want it to be just a fake, here's a link. But I also want to share the information that we're gathering, so I want it to be informative. So we're struggling with how can we engage and inform when this is really one of the places people are going to be informed. This, I go to Facebook before I go to any news site now. Not now, it's been like that for a while, I'll admit. But now I'm finding my news on Facebook where I used to only see it on Twitter first. But now I'll see it on Facebook or Twitter, doesn't matter, because it's all merging. The addition of those pages on your feed in Facebook has made it a really powerful tool. So those are the two that I'm spending a lot of time on with my students and with the newsroom, because I found that if you get into too many things, mm-hmm. you're just diluting your power,
right.
And you're diluting your true consistency with the audience that's in those spaces. So I'm targeting those two right now because that's really a main target of this market. And once we get it, once I say, yeah, we're good at this, maybe I'll go and spend more time on YouTube.
You're working in one or two spaces mm-hmm. before you branch out into other spaces. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me why you're taking that approach right. and then how you chose those spaces in
sure.
the first place?
Well, if the one before I started anything in social media, I've always started on a personal level because I'm often an early adopter, and if I can get it as a part of my life, then people are going to be there eventually. And so I don't know why, that's just how it's been that way. I was in Facebook way long ago, and I saw, which is embarrassing, and I used to get made fun of from my peers that I was there, and now I'm like, haha. Jokes on you. I target these first just because I found that they molded into my lifestyle, and if it can be in my lifestyle, it could easily be in other people's lifestyles. I found that in this market, we don't have the money to really find out who's really there. But what I'm doing is I am a member of my community. I talk to a lot of people. Everybody I know has Facebook or knows someone that's on Facebook and has talked about things they heard on Facebook. I went to the Tony Hawk event here in town that was on Twitter. I put it on Facebook and 5 different families came because they saw me mention it on Facebook.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. That's cool. So what I started doing is first I started targeting things I understood. Because if I'm in there and I really understand how it works, then I can explain it to other people in my place of business. So once I have done that, we started finding a way to incorporate Facebook or Twitter and not half-ass it.
Right.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We don't half-ass. So I use it on a personal level, and then I started looking at ways to use it on a professional level. And once we get on the professional level, this is the difference between any other tools that we've ever used in the business world before. These are social tools. And so you're not trying to entice. You're not trying to tease. You're communicating and sharing. And so it takes a while to build a voice that's sharing and communicating. Mm-hmm. And especially if you have multiple people that are trying to work under the same brand,
right.
that takes time.
Right.
And to be a legitimate voice, you have to be there and participating for an extended period of time. You can't just drop in and expect everyone to talk back.
Right.
And so patience is not easy, especially when you want some kind of return on your investment, time investment.
A quick dollar.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen instantly, and that's the downside of social media because it's time consuming, and there isn't that instant return. But I've found with the consistency, people start to participate more. And when people start to participate more, they think of you when they need mm-hmm. to share. They
right.
don't just share with their peers, but they actually start bringing in your business. I mean, for our newsroom, I think it's interesting that the majority of people that follow the KOMU News brand probably also follow me mm-hmm. because they know I'm the manager of it. Because
right.
on our Twitter page, it openly has, I am managing it. These are people working with me. And so if you, many people join KOMU's account because they know me first.
Sure.
And that's the difference about branding now. Putting real faces to brands are way more powerful than the brands at times, which is different and scary, especially when you spend all this time to have a brand.
Right. But behind the brand,
you need to have legitimately real people,
yeah.
or else your brand is fake.
Right. And you've seen what Zappos does with their
yeah.
employees, right?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Zappos is a great example of pure branding genius. It's just everybody is a part of it, and everybody is openly admitting they love their shoes. Anyways, what I'm really pushing my students in my newsroom to do is to participate, and participate on a level that they're comfortable with, so that they have spent enough time to be a legitimate participant. And what we're doing in our newsroom is all of the people who are working in our newsroom, we retweet under the KOMU brand. so that if someone doesn't feel that true social connection with someone in our newsroom, but they do rely on us as a news source, they can still at least talk to KOMI News.
Right.
And when we have big news, I want them to be sharing it under our brand. It's who's doing all the work is that brand. So often I'll have a reporter who's half retweeted under their name and half retweeted from a KOMU story where their name is in it too. So my brand is carrying and collecting what everyone else is working on, and they're building their own name at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They are required to not share things that are just a tease. And if you've watched any television news, you're used to the end of a block where they're like, coming up.
Right.
Just wait. Here we go. You're going to love it. Come on. Don't leave. And social media, that's a slap in the face. That's spam. That's fake. And I'll tell you, journalists in television, that's hard to not do.
Not do that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Right.
And even the newbies are like, what? I'm like, no. Conversation. And you can't explain it unless you've actually been in there. You can't, and the ones that do it well have been using it personally. And so my biggest advice is find the places where your audience is, learn how to use them personally. We're all interested in stuff that's not just work. So find, it's social. So you'll find social in those realms. So, the people that really get it are the ones that have used it not just for work, because work is fake.
Right.
If that's all that matters to you, that's not true. And social media requires you to be real.
Right.
So how do you manage the difference between doing professional tweets and personal tweets?
Yeah.
I know the Wall Street Journal recently banned their employees from using Twitter because of this, and you see it on sports teams, and
yep.
you see it in different companies
yep.
as well, but within journalism particularly, as you're talking
yep.
about trying to build this personal connection.
Right. Yeah, I think it's wrong for a newsroom to ban their people from using a tool where that's where their audience is. That's foolish, and that's short-sighted, and good luck to them. I think I am telling my reporters to be mindful, because when you are connected to a brand, you're always connected to that brand. So there is a point where you have to be mindful no matter what. So I tell them, put your phone away when you're drinking. You know? Put your phone away if you're doing something inappropriate. Don't talk about, you know what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. I know that my use of Twitter has evolved as I have taken different leadership roles in the social media space. I talked a lot more about my kids. I talked a lot more about just daily stuff. I don't know, this what I talk about a lot is mind casting versus life casting. And so I've become more of a mind caster with a side of life casting. And the difference is this. Life casting is hanging out at a coffee shop talking about cool stuff that I like to talk about. Mind casting would be thinking about what's the appropriate way to use Twitter with a group of friends. You know, that's that would actually probably stir some conversation with others on Twitter. Mind casting would be, gotta pick up my daughter, I only have 10 minutes to go, better hurry. You know, I used to have, one of my top words was late. I don't talk about being late as often as I used to.
That's hilarious.
Bad PR.
It's totally bad. I need, you know, if I'm gonna be late, I'm not gonna brag about it anymore.
So you do both mind casting and
I do a mix of it, because my feeling is, one, if you don't like who I am, don't follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually been accosted by an old time journalist who said, "Why are you talking about the grocery store?" I'm like, "Well, I don't think I do, but who cares? Don't follow me." And he's still going on in the middle of a conference. Why are you like, don't follow me. It's that simple. But I did kind of tone it down, mainly because more and more people are looking for me as a resource, as a professional, and so a lot more mind casting has, but just I just kind of defaulted to more mind casting, or just when I see something interesting, I'll share it more than just talk about really beautiful day, I want to go out for a run, although I really do. That I'd probably use on Facebook now. And so I have personal rules about social media. Mm-hmm. And with Facebook, I always had, I need to either have a long-term social networking relationship with that person or a face-to-face relationship with that person to be a Facebook friend.
Mm, interesting.
My Twitter is with anyone that is of any interest of topics that I like, or anyone that is interested in having a conversation. And my realms are mom, running, health, journalism, higher education, technology, open source.
In Twitter.
And in Twitter. So those are, you know, my Facebook is a much more of, it can go as much as someone I went to high school with, but that was a face-to-face relationship, mm-hmm. all the way to someone I've been talking to Twitter with for 2 years, and we know each other so well, it just made sense to be friends on Facebook, and we'll probably meet up someday. And actually, most of my Twitter friends that I'm friends with on Facebook, we've had some chance to meet up on face-to-face at some point at this point, which is kind of cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You bring up a really interesting point that they're both social media spaces.
Yes.
Very similar, but also very different.
Very different, yeah.
Different mindset, different rules of
engagement,
play or engagement, right? And I think that's important for people to realize. I know there's one tool. Tell me what it is. I can't remember, but you can set it up to where when you tweet or make a Facebook post, it goes into both places.
Seismic desktop tool does that.
I personally haven't adopted that because of that reason.
It's dangerous because you can by mistake post. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Well, with Facebook pages too, when you can connect it to your Twitter account, and it'll go, whenever you make a post, it'll go automatically to Twitter.
Right.
And so that's another way to do it.
Yeah.
That can be very beneficial, I think, if you want to get fans to your Facebook page, because it'll route them there first.
Right.
I wouldn't do it with everything. Every now and then.
Sure. If you don't mind, I'd like you to kind of give a one-sentence description of each space.
Sure.
Because as familiar as the three of us are with those spaces, so many people still are not.
Well, I think Facebook has two different descriptions.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people that are now doing two different profiles. They're doing their professional profile and their friend profile on Facebook. I could never manage both. It's just too much work. So for me, and I think really Facebook, of all the tools, there are a lot of different ways people are defining it. But the personal side of Facebook for me is very much a cultivation of relationships. It helps with alumni. It helped me find people, connections for possible jobs. It's my personal, it's actually, I've treated it like kind of a LinkedIn plus friendship zone.
Sure.
The fan page is a extraordinarily powerful brand manager that you can use to cultivate your relationship with your customers. or your audience. And I think everything's an audience now. It's not just a television.
Right.
Everybody's an audience. Mm-hmm. Everyone is a relationship. And so I think the fan page has that great deep potential for a true relationship brand relationship with your audience. The trick is getting people to really engage, and that's it depends on your brand and how people like to engage. And Facebook has those opportunities. I love Sparky's ice cream, and I love to see pictures of people that people post of their Sparky's ice cream experiences. I don't know why. I think it's fun. I post mine because it's fun.
Right.
I'm not going to post a picture of me watching KOMU News because that's weird.
Right.
There's a difference there. Today on Facebook, we talked about new new tax incentives for home buying, and it's not just for first-time home buyers now. It's also someone who's owned a house for 5 years that they're selling and buy another one. You can get up to $6,500 in tax credit. Well, hello, that's a huge talker for me. That's amazing. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. Well, our viewers hadn't heard of that until we mentioned it on our Facebook page. It's we engaged we didn't have a story or a link yet.
Right.
But, you know, tell me more. Right. All right, well, this is what we know, and we have a reporter on it. We'll have more later. We'll put a link in the comments there.
So are you able to use these tools to help you make a decision on how far you go into a story? So part of a story development?
Right, process? Right. Well, we've been using Twitter as a story development, but now I'm trying to see what could we use. I don't want to spam, so that's the trick. You don't want to be like, who can help me on this story every day? Because people are like, I'm tired of you asking me how to help. So it's a really fine line of engagement versus begging for help versus informing versus it's. I don't know what the proper equation is.
Right, yeah, sure.
But I know for me personally, if I heard every day, who's going to help me on a story, I'm going to get spam. That feels like spam, and I'm not going to want to follow it anymore.
Right.
It seems like,
right.
though, if you put something out there that is interesting, intriguing,
yes,
but maybe you
yes.
don't have a story, and
right.
people are like, tell me more.
Right. And what we did, we got a lot of talk when the first cases of swine flu were showing up on campus.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we went nuts on the hand cleaning and the Lysol spraying and the everything in our newsroom. And I just mentioned something on our Facebook page, what's your workplace doing and what are you doing? And that got all kinds of people to talk.
Right.
It wasn't a story, it was just, we're obsessing here, what about you?
Right.
So I'm seeing some pages that newsrooms are doing that I think are worth other businesses looking at, where they're showing, here's a cool thing I saw on YouTube first, and here's an anchor that leaves a post that this is what I'm doing today, and here's the pie that we just brought into the newsroom, and here's a big story.
And are you seeing where something you've done on Facebook or Twitter makes its way into the broadcast?
Yeah. Well, we have another. The one thing I haven't mentioned that we're doing is we're using Ning to try to cultivate content.
Okay.
Ning is like a topically specific Facebook that you can. Organize and design for your own brand, and if you can do it for free, and if you spend more, you can make it more to your own personal brand.
Yeah.
We're using it to collect photos and collect events for our calendar on Ning, and that's probably diluting our power on Facebook. But what I can tell you is our numbers when we share news on Facebook. The number of people that come to KOMU.com skyrockets.
Wow.
Really?
It's powerful. Now that I know it is so powerful, I don't want to overuse it.
Yeah.
I want to be
yeah.
very careful.
Well, there's a lesson there.
Yeah.
In regards, it seems like, in being a part of the commons rather than building your own commons.
Right, right. And so we're trying to figure out, and of course, if you share photos on Facebook, they have copyright. And at our social space, I've used Creative Commons that says, and Creative Commons is worth thinking about copyright when people are sharing content,
yeah.
you know, who has control of it. And on our Ning site, it says that it's basically, if you attribute, it's usable. And I'm not making people sign it. It's just there on the site that says content on this site,
right.
if attributed, may be used. And so anything that we get shared to us, we attribute it to the person. Often, we actually go back. If they don't tell us where they're from, we'll ask them where they're from and try to get some more background that goes on the air. When a crane fell on a building here in downtown, we got a lot of great content on Twitter, and all I did was direct message and request, are you good with me using this on our website, on our air, and that's all. And we got a yes, and we attributed to them, and we had it on our air.
Yeah.
So
it's great. Speaking of Twitter, we just talked about Facebook and what the magic equation is there for engagement.
I wish there was a magic equation.
Indeed, that would be nice.
It would be nice.
So, but Twitter's a different space.
Yeah.
And one of the common comments I hear is, I don't get Twitter, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
How is it different, and what is the big deal?
The big deal is, I mentioned, when I first introduced it to people, it is most people understand the Facebook status update.
Right.
It's like your Facebook status on crack, because it's so easy. Twitter is, it's different because it's so simple,
mm-hmm.
it's so portable, and it's so easy to share. It's fast. It's so fast that, and it's so searchable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, I think, the most powerful element of Twitter is how searchable it can be.
Right.
So if you're looking for a topic on Twitter, boom, you've just found 100 people talking about it.
Right.
And then that 101st person that's talking about it is talking about it differently than all the 100 others. Maybe they know something more. Mm-hmm. Now you can go to their page, and then you can they've left a link of who they are. Suddenly you're on their resume site, and you can contact them personally and go, tell me more. I mean, it's the aggregation and the searchability and the Googleability of mm-hmm. Twitter content is so powerful that Facebook has been built as a private product. Mm-hmm. It is not meant to be that searched.
Right.
Twitter is, the first time I went into Twitter, I used it. No one in Columbia was there. I was bored out of my head because I didn't know who to find and talk to. And I said things about my children with their names. And at one point, I managed their names and brands just to be sure. I'm kind of careful about that. And one day I Googled their name in, and I go, attached to my Twitter account. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, Twitter is really Googleable. And this is in 2007. So, I mean, now I know for sure. I deleted that account, and I came back to it. About 4 months later, I kept KOMU's account, but I deleted my personal account for about 3 months.
Okay.
And I call them the girl and the boy now. So I think that Twitter is highly, highly powerful, especially because you can engage like in Facebook, but you engage people that aren't inside your network. You can discover people that should be in your network or could be in your network. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity to speak to people that you would have never been able to speak to before.
Right.
And you can read what they're talking about. You can't do that on Facebook if they don't friend you back.
Yep.
Right.
And there's an opportunity to target audience members that you never could have targeted before because you didn't even know they existed.
Right.
Because they talked about something that you are interested in, you can start keeping track of them, and they can track you. And some people are like, ooh, someone I don't know is following me on Twitter.
Right.
It's not Facebook.
Right.
A different rules, and the rules are what you post is public. Mm-hmm. And what you post is to engage in a public conversation, not just a personal conversation.
Right.
And so that's why managing a brand is even more powerful inside Twitter, because your brand can be seen from by all, mm-hmm. and you have the potential to find people that you didn't even know liked your brand or are interested in your brand.
Right.
So I saw a quote yesterday. It said that the creative director these days are really turning into curators.
Oh, yeah.
And now, as we're talking about Twitter, tell me what you think about that in regards to Twitter lists and your thoughts on what lists do.
Yeah.
The importance of that.
If right now lists are so new that if I took the time, you took the time to create lists that would be useful for your market, for your audience, and say, you don't have to even find out who to follow. The list gives you all the names and all the profiles of people that are under a specific topic.
Mm-hmm.
So the New York Times has already started some brilliant lists of topics that I don't even have to take the time to do. And there are actual websites that have already been built that are giving you the top 140 lists of topics. So people are cultivating it for us.
Lists of lists.
I mean, it's fascinating. And these lists of lists are showing all these profiles that you may not have even known about, even if you've been in Twitter forever, and they've already cultivated for you.
Wow.
If you can be the cultivator of lists, and people rely on you to tell them, you have the ability to manage the discussions and the thoughts and then target who are the true thought leaders in Twitter. I've been collecting Missouri Twitter accounts for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
My weekend project is to do it for KOMU, is to take all of those that we have and create lists for KOMU of the list that the names I already have.
Right.
But now I should. It's a really great way to share it publicly.
Right.
I've been trying to come up with a nice way to do it. Well, this is the, because people can go to that list and say, I like this list. I'm going to follow that list.
Right.
So you don't have to go back and rebuild it.
Right.
You just follow someone else's list.
Right.
It's so cool. So right now I'm actually playing with lists, going through all the people I follow and trying to develop what list topics are most useful for me and most useful for my followers. And it's interesting to see which ones people are following, and I haven't built up any of mine. I haven't had enough time. The problem with Twitter list building is it's not an easy process.
It's not.
You have to actually either go to each individual user on Twitter, or you have to go through your followers list. And I have 2,600 people I follow, at people, places, and things, and brands, so it's not just people. So most of the time, I'll see somebody pop up on Twitter, I go, ooh, that person should be on this list. So I have to click on their profile, add them to my list, and then every once in a while I'll go, hey, this name of the list, this isn't, they're the same kind of list, so I should get rid of this list and create this new list. You only get 20, by the way.
Oh. Only 20 lists.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I hit the cap.
You found that out.
I found that out. But you can follow as many as you want.
Gotcha.
Speaking of lists, that's an awesome tool that Twitter released, what, like a week or two ago?
They've been rolling it out for the last month.
Okay, so you know more than me. I found out about it really late, like a week ago.
And I've been begging Twitter to give it to me.
Oh, I know. It's like it restored my faith in Twitter.
Yeah, really?
So anyway.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
This week they started rolling out retweets on Facebook. That it's been on all kinds
on Twitter,
of tools on Twitter. I mean,
right,
sorry.
Right.
they're rolling out retweetability on Twitter.com, which they didn't. There's a gajillion tools that let you do that, but actually on Twitter itself, you've had to copy and paste and add RT and the @ in front of the person's name.
And that's another interesting thing. I mean, it's just a feature, and it's a feature that arose out of the users.
Yes.
I mean, it was just like most, nearly all the features on Twitter are that way. But it's another interesting thing that sets it apart from Facebook.
Yes.
Because not only, what it does is it becomes one of the major sources of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Of the more you're retweeted, the higher your authority is on Twitter, and that's discoverable too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure.
It is.
Sure.
Yeah, and actually, as a branding goal, you want to post something on Twitter and get it retweeted.
Get it retweeted.
There are a wonderful tool to think about for retweeting is a tool called Bitly, bit.ly.
Right.
When you create your account on Bitly, and Bitly will shorten your URL into something yummy and tasty and fits on your 140 characters. I use Bitly on everything now because it manages the analytics of that link.
Right.
And so it tells you how many links, how many people clicked, and where did they click it from. And so I can, if I had a Bitly link on Facebook and on Twitter, I could see who came from where.
Right.
And and then when that's retweeted, it's just sharing, more and more people are able to click on that same Bitly link that's on your account, so you can check out all the statistics. I've been using CoTweet as a way to manage multiple accounts, and multiple people can help with retweeting our reporters' work. Our reporters are expected to put at KOMU News on their tweets, so it CoTweet actually collects all @s in Twitter. And so all of our reporters are expected to put @ KOMU News, so we get alerted the moment there's an @ KOMU News.
Right.
So I also immediately know when a viewer has @ KOMU News does. That power can also goes to, if I'm not on my co-tweet on my browser, I also get an email alert anytime there's an @ KOMU News. Anyways, that also, it shortens to Bitly, and you can actually track the analytics inside CoTweet. You just click on it, and it'll show you all the statistics up on the browser. So they've merged Bitly with retweeting and managing all of your @s. And managing your @s, actually recognizing @s and participating with people who are wanting to either retweet you or communicate with you is a power. You have to. If you're going to be there, you've got to react. You've got to interact.
So Bitly and CoTweet.
CoTweet, those are powerful.
And have you used but URL, it's pretty much the same as
yeah,
Twitter, right?
Yeah, and there's lots of them.
Yeah.
You know, it all started with Tiny URL.
Sure,
Tiny and I was
URL.
The cool kid on the block when I was telling everyone about it. They're like, wow, Tiny URL. I'm like, I know. Isn't that great? But now, there's super SUP.RR.
It's got a lot of statistics.
Yes, they do it, and it gets on StumbleUpon.
Yep.
All at once, which is really powerful. And I actually have asked CodeTweet to add that as an option because StumbleUpon, I haven't even talked about, but it's a it's a great way to get extra eyes on your content.
Right.
I haven't even had time to. I'm not even in Dig for KOMU. I'm not even on StumbleUpon. These are things that, once again. You dilute it. You got to
right.
do one thing.
Right.
So right now, we're
so
not there yet.
Any particular tools for Facebook that make it easier? Or
I'm using.
More effective?
I have a desktop tool called Seismic Desktop. It allows you to manage your fan pages, your personal profiles, and all your Twitter accounts all at the same time. But it's on an individual level. It's not like I can manage.
Right.
I can't have other people using my browser unless they want to sit at my computer, and I'm not gonna.
Sure.
I'm not gonna do that. So. It brings in a feed of everything on Twitter and Facebook at the same time, which is kind of cool. The Flock browser, which is a browser that you can use. I don't know if it's PC. It may be
it
just
is.
A Mac. Is it?
Yeah,
so it could be PC or Mac or Linux probably. Flock is a social networking browser, and it's I ended up having to leave it because it kept crashing and I got sick of rebuilding it. And I don't know if they've gotten better, but Flock, while it worked for me, was awesome because you could track all of the social media spaces right on the side of your screen while you're doing your other web browsing.
Right.
Facebook has made it difficult to have tools. Mm. Their API is not extraordinarily open, and what they've made open is limiting. In management ability.
So, juicy question for you.
All right.
Or maybe it's juicy.
I like
juicy. It's my attempt at juicy. So, if there's a company or an individual or whatever that's kind of taken an old school mentality
yeah.
towards these things and said, we're not going to do that. It doesn't make sense for us. What would you say to that business or person?
I would say you should use these tools as a personal level and see how interactive it is and think about what you're missing if your business isn't there.
Right.
I don't think people buy into social media because they're not using it.
Mm.
The moment they start using it, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with Twitter is I know people don't get it because it's not just you don't just get it. It's not handed to you.
Right.
You have to seek. And the list thing is going to be very powerful for beginners.
Right.
You know, whoever goes, if KOMU starts, these are the people to follow in Missouri. Well, suddenly you can have your fingers on the topics of Missouri that you want to know about. And you don't even have to start, you don't even have to follow them yourselves. So you just read the lists.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start deciding, do I want to follow people myself or not? And interact back and forth. And once you start to interact with people, if they do, you can't just interact with big names because they're not going to. So you have to learn. But I think anyone that says poo-poo to this aren't trying it themselves.
Would you say, is it fair to say that the majority of people, businesses, organizations, whatever,
mm-hmm.
should be doing this?
If they have the time to commit to it,
yeah.
you can't half-ass it.
Right.
So that's why I recommend you try it personally first to understand how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, then you're gonna half-ass it, and people won't believe your brand,
right.
and they're not gonna participate. And you get one try.
It's very obvious when
it's
you go to
super
someone's
obvious.
Profile that they're not engaged.
Yep, it's
right.
super obvious.
Yeah.
And social media is all about real, so
right.
you can't fake it. And
right.
so that's why I really do believe try it personally before you try it professionally, because your brand, you can blow it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take a lot more time to truly build your brand in those spaces if you've already created it but didn't actually do it.
Right.
You can't do this well, don't do it.
Right.
But if you realize the power of it, you will commit the time and energy to it.
Right, right. So last question. you've alluded to these tools that come out and then they're extinct and this one's better and this one's new. How can people stay in the know on this stuff? What do you do? What blogs should they be reading if they want to become social media even competent?
Really?
That question's for you too, Jamie, because I know you read a lot.
I think that the fastest source is Mashable.
Yeah, definitely.
They are on it. If you had time for one right now, today, Mashable will keep you up to date with everything or close to everything. If they miss it, they won't miss it for long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
They're just really on it. And that could change next week. But in the last 6 months, Mashable has been the source.
Yeah.
I collect a list that I give to my students. And it's interesting because I've found that often the people that do it well suddenly become consultants and then their blogs die. Because they're charging for it now.
Right.
So,
there
have been some others that used to be really great, but now they're consultants, so they're making money and not updating.
So speaking of consulting, do you do any consulting?
I do consulting.
I was hoping you'd say that.
I do, actually. I've started doing training seminars, so would love to be contacted.
So how could someone contact you?
JenLeeReeves.com, JenLeeReeves on Twitter, JenLeeReeves@gmail.com, JenLeeReeves.
@Google.com.
Yes, actually. You Google JenLeeReeves, you'll find me.
Okay. Very good. So, thanks for your time.
Sure.
And Jamie, you as well. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you.
Blue Root.
There we go. Blue Root. And
so I
think we did. Talk much about that. But Jamie's really cool application, booked.com.
Yeah.
Spelled BOOKD.
KD.
Yeah.
And then BlueRoot.com. So thanks for joining us, and we hope you learned something.
Great. Thanks, Travis.
Thanks.
See you.